Okay, now we have defined pooling, but we also may need to measure it. And why we need to measure it to understand, okay, how frequent it is. And of course, we want to know if we start, for instance, doing some interventions, we need to know whether it decreases or whether it increases or remains the same. Is the intervention effective? When we compare, for instance, age differences or gender differences, we need to measure it and have a comparable measures to really understand the change or differences between groups. This is a bit problematic because we know that there are literature we can see prevalence rates ranging, for instance, Modecki and Al found that they were ranging from 9% to 98%. So it really depends on how you measure what kind of prevalence rates you get. So if you ask lifetime bullying experiences, have you ever been bullied? Most of people say that, well, yes, especially if we do not define what it means. And Peter K. Smith has really nice talk in anti-bullying, World Anti-Bullying Forum from 2019. It's in YouTube, and he's speaking about these cultural differences, about the definition in different cultures and the meaning of the word as well. And he also gives very nice examples of these huge national surveys that give comparisons of different countries on bullying prevalence rates. And very interesting things raised from those surveys. For instance, he found that Sweden was fourth highest in bullying rates in the JICO international study, where were 25 countries, which is quite alarming. So Sweden is probably doing pretty well in anti-bullying work, and they are putting a lot of effort in it, and still they have such high rates. But then again, they were the third lowest in another survey, including 38 countries. So this can be so radically different measure depending on what kind of measures we used. And similarly, Portugal was the lowest in bullying rates in the JICO study, but then again, the 10th highest in the other study. And he gives different kinds of examples how even the same country is positioned differently with the different measures. And also we can see that when we correlate the measures, they are relatively moderate, the correlations between those different measures on victimization and bullying. And one nice example is actually about the different measures is that first of all, we need to ask that who we ask. Do we ask the child themselves that are you bullied, have you been bullied or not? Or do we use this kind of peer nomination where we ask the other children in the classroom that who in your class is victimized or bullied, or are there children in your classroom who are victimized or bullied? In this case, they would be naming or marking the children in the classroom who they think that have been bullied in the recent months or whatever is the time frame. And often then we need to use some kind of cutoff point because we get a proportion of nominations received. So if half of the classroom is nominated me as a victim, then my score would be 0.50, so 50% of the classroom nominated me. And for instance, in this study from Salmivalo from 2002, they used a 30% of cutoff point. So it's really, we just have to determine that when we do think that this child is really victimized. And teacher nominations is a bit more clear that teachers just say that this child, he or she thinks that this student is bullied or not. Or they could also use actually rating scales. So this is also possible that the teacher has a rating scales of the child, and then he could mark that how often this child is victimized or whether he or she is victimized at all. But in this study, they used yes or no question from the victimized from the student themselves, the self-reports. They used the peer nominations to nominate the student, and then they used the simple question of who in your classroom from the teacher. And Salmivalli and colleagues, Salmivalli in this study, she found very different prevalence rates depending on the measure and the cutoff point using. And we could see that self-reports are the highest, and this is very typical in many studies that self-reports are actually the highest. And in this study, they especially looked at it seemed that only self-reports had this declining trend over time compared to peer reports and teacher reports. So we can also get different kind of a view of pulling how it's changing when we use different measures. But the most typical measure is self-report, and that's often used when we compare different countries or the different grade levels and so on. But now when we have talked about the definition of pulling, understanding the phenomenon and how to measure it, a few words that I want to highlight. So one is that, of course, we need to make sure that students have the same understanding of the phenomenon, which of course, especially when we do cross-country comparison, is very difficult. But even in Finland, thinking about different age, the student age, they may understand the phenomenon differently. And in a classroom that has been talking about bullying, and in a classroom in which children haven't been talking about bullying at all, it can be that they understand the phenomenon differently. Of course, we can compensate such the understanding of the phenomenon or connotation of the word by definition. So often case, for instance, in Kiva survey, we do have always the definition, and the always bully victim questionnaire, they have the standard definition presented for students that we mean bullying, and that it's something that happens repeatedly, and it's intentionally harming someone, and they may even mention the power imbalance in one way or another. And often we want to give examples that bullying can be hitting, bullying can be happen in online space, bullying can happen in excluding, and so on, so that the students really understand that many things are included in the definition. And when we start comparing the measure or looking at longitudinal changes, for instance, we need to make sure that the measure is exactly the same over time or between the comparison groups with the same scale. So if it's a 4-point scale, then we next time need to use the same 4-point scale with the exact same wordings. Because even small things can actually influence to responding. And I know from one data set that we had a first many years just simple 5-point scale in one question, and then one year we added smiley faces above the scale so that the completely disagree would be very sad face, and then the agree would be happy face, and we got completely different results. So adding something, a picture, the visualizing the scale can influence how we responded. Of course, when we measure bullying, we need to think that okay, we measure the same form. And of course, we also need to have pretty comparable samples. Large samples are good, but we also need to make sure that if we compare, for instance, two countries so that they have similar kind of demographic factors included, or at least they would have the representative sample. So for instance, in one country would choose an area where there are a lot of immigrants, although the country wouldn't have so many in general, and other country would have very few immigrants in their sample, so that can influence what kind of prevalence rates we get. And of course, that I already said about the visualizing of the scale, there can also be an influence of whether it's paper and pencil or internet survey. People tend to respond a little bit differently in different kinds of surveys, but the most influential is that whether it's anonymous or whether there is a possibility of becoming recognized from my responses. So especially if we interview students, we may get very different results than when we have an anonymous internet survey, or when the student can feels that the teacher maybe recognizes my answers, that can influence the responding. But towards the prevalence rates. Now we have talked about definition and how we measure it. So now I can show a couple of simple prevalence rates, how the bullying situation has changed in Finland, and probably, hopefully, you can check if you are from abroad, how it's in your country. So for instance, school health promotion study, which has been done for 20 years now, every other year typically, they have used very consistently the question of how often have you been bullied at school in this semester, and they have 4-point scale. And the cutoff point what they use is about once a week that they have then considered this student as victimized. And here we can see the trends what they have found. So we can see that from 2000 to 2009 in middle school was only tested that time. There seemed to be a steady increase in bullying, but then 2009 it started to decline, and the past 10 years we have been very effective in that way that there is a declining trend, which is a good thing. And this is nice because often I hear that people are talking how bullying has increased, but actually all the trend data we have show the opposite trend. We can see also in this picture that lower grades, fourth and fifth grades, they have a higher bullying rates. In this definition, what they use, it's about 7 points, two or three, the prevalence rates. Whereas for middle school, eighth and ninth graders, it's clearly about 5.5 or a bit more there. And then again, in vocational schools, it's lower, and there seems to also be a kind of declining trend, although a slight increase in 2019. This spring, we will see how it where it turns. Does it continue increasing, or does it turn back to decreasing trend? And then again, the general upper secondary school seems to have very low rates. Although when we say that low rates of bullying is happening, we have to be careful, because there have been in recent years studies that have shown that, for instance, Garando and colleagues have shown that when there is a decline in bullying in classroom, those victims who remain victimized, they are even feeling worse. So the consequences can be worse when you are the only victimized. So when we say that we have very little bullying here, we shouldn't yet celebrate, because bullying still happens, and those who are victimized, they can feel even worse because they are the only ones. Give a survey, in that we have used the always bully victim survey questions of how often have you been bullied in the past few months. And there is a 5-point scale, which is very often used, and the cutoff point is typically used from 2 or 3 times a month or 4 more often. So if it happens only once or twice, we do not yet label it as bullying. And with this definition, we can also see that since 2009, when Kiva was brought in Finland, when we started to disseminate it in Finland, all over the country, we can see that there have been quite steady decrease. There is still children who are victimized in the left side, and then some children who are bullying others, but both are decreasing over time. I did this figure in 2018 when I was still working at the University of Turku, where Kiva program is developed. So I'm not sure what it is after that, but there seemed to be a slight increase in victimization and also bullying in the last year. So I don't know where it's now going. In the spring of Corona, I know that it was really low, because this has always been done in the spring, but the Corona spring, where schools were closed, bullying rates really dropped significantly. So it's very interesting to see how the situation is, for instance, this spring. We should also, what I want to note here is that Kiva program, for instance, became, schools had to start to pay for it in 2017, and quite expectedly half of the schools dropped out, And of course, we also do not know whether this drop can influence the prevalence rates. So what kind of schools remained? Are there schools who have problems, who need more help? They need an anti-bullying program, where some schools have already established or integrated the anti-bullying practices, how that can influence. But these are interesting questions that would be interesting to study, and I know that a lot of is going on in Turku at the moment to understand better how the victimization changes in Finland and what factors can influence that. So there is also, now we were speaking about the trends over time, I wanted to show this picture because we also know that there is a trend, age trend in victimization. So children, this dark blue line is victimization, being bullied, and there seems to be age decline until the 7th grade, which is here. And we can see that there is a very small increase, and this seems to happen in many years. And I'm not sure if it's because in Finland we shift to middle school, and often it means regrouping of classrooms, which means that the roles are renegotiated, and it may mean that a lot is happening. Or it could also be something to do with development when children turn to adolescence and different things become important in the classroom, for instance, peer status. And when we ask children about bullying others, this also seems to decrease, but there is a slight increase in the middle school, which also can have to do with this same idea that it's more cool to be in the bully side compared to the victim side. In many years, we were training teachers and showing the same trend figure from this is 2009. And we can see that, okay, the prevalence rates are much higher, as we could see already in the previous slides, but it seems to be lower in every single grade in 2017 compared to 2009. What is very interesting in this picture is that that time, 10 years ago, or 12 years ago, or 11 years ago, there seems to be in middle school, there were more bullies compared to victims. And we consider this very serious because there are fewer victims who are targeted by more bullies in the classroom. And also when I looked at the data, when we asked children that how long have you been bullied, it seemed that when a 3rd grader said that he or she is bullied, it's really much shorter time, they're not so often bullied, many years, surprisingly. But when we go to 8th and 9th graders, most of victimized students have been victimized for several years. So the situation is in a way much more serious probably here than in the lower grades.